Turn in your Bible tonight, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for His help today, all right? Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day and Your blessings. Thank You for grace and mercy. Thank You for each one that's gathered here tonight. Lord, I know it's no accident that we are gathered as we are, and I just pray that Your will would be done in all of our lives and hearts. Mold us and make us into the vessels, God, that You'd be pleased with and that You could use for Your glory and honor in these days. If there's one lost among us, I pray the Holy Ghost would deal with their heart and You'd open their blinded eyes and save them before it's eternally too late. Father, for what You do, we'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." In this text of Scripture, we find the Bible telling us and giving us some instructions about being a servant. And we preached out of Matthew chapter 20. I want to read those verses to you quickly to kind of connect that message with this one. Jesus said, or the Bible says, "But Jesus called unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, like Matthew, this passage that we read in Ephesians is talking about servants. And if you run back in the context of what's being said, I think it goes all the way back into chapter 5 and the emphasis being to be filled, verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he begins to deal with various things. You'll notice he's dealing with submission in verse 21, but then he deals with wives in verse 22, husbands in verse 25, children in chapter 6, verse 1, servants in verse 5, and masters in verse 9. And I believe it's all connected together. And what I believe it's teaching us is that the filling of the Spirit is important to you no matter what area of life that you're involved with or what position that you may hold in life. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Whether you're a wife, a husband, a child, a servant, or a master. And that touches all of us in the building now. And what I believe he's saying is the filling of the Spirit is necessary for us to be what we ought to be in those positions in life. And so as we look at verses 5 through verse number 8 of chapter 6, we can kind of hone in on or focus tonight on the thought of Christian servants. That's what we're all supposed to be, Christian servants. Servants of the Lord first, and then whatever position we hold in this life as a servant, or we might say in this day, an employee, we are to do it as Christian people, as those that are Christ-like. So let's look to begin with at the command that is given us in verse 5. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." So the command that God is giving to all of us is obedience.
We are to obey those that are in authority over us, no matter where that may be. If we are serving and we have a master that is set over us, we are to be obedient to them. Now you understand, if they tell you to go sin or go break the law, which would be a sin, then that is, we are to be a servant to the Lord first and a servant to them second. We serve God first. But really, that's really what this passage is teaching us, is that we're not to be serving men, we're to be serving the Lord. And we'll see that before we get done. But here is the command that is given us, and that is that we obey those that are our masters according to the flesh. The word servant, it means a slave. It means a bondman. And we're going to end up in this series on servants, we're going to end up looking at an Old Testament example of what the New Testament says a servant ought to be. And you'll find these characteristics in that individual. I'm not going to give it away. I'll tell you later. Some of you already know because you're at the watch night service. But anyway, you're sworn to secrecy. But he's talking about a slave or a bondman, and he uses the word obedient. You know what that really means? It means that we ought to do what they want us to do. That's not complicated. That's not difficult at all. But that is not doing what you want to do. It is surrendering your will to those who have the authority over you in the flesh. That is exactly what this text tells us. Be obedient to them. If you're going to obey somebody, that means that your will is going to have to come second to their will. That means what they desire for you to do, you're supposed to be doing. Now, if we were to go into the workforce in America today and go throughout the land and truly examine every employee that has a boss over them and truly find out, are you really doing what your boss wants you to do? I wonder how many would honestly say, yeah, I'm really doing what my boss wants me to do. No, most of the time, they're trying to get by with everything they can instead of really doing what their boss wants them to do. And you know what that means? They're breaking God's commandment. The commandment is obedience. You say, preacher, well, you don't know what they expect out of me. But the truth is, you are to give it your best shot. They may expect more than you can do. And that is the situation a lot of times. They expect more out of you than you can physically do. But you are to give it all you got. And you know whether you're giving it all you got. And you also know, or ought to know, that God knows whether you're giving it a good shot or not. But the command is clear in the text that we be obedient to those that are, that is according to the flesh, that's speaking of human masters. And by the way, he is differentiating between the service of men and the service of God. Just because we serve men does not mean that we are not serving God. There were many slaves in the Roman Empire, according to history. At this time in history, there were many slaves, and to those that he was writing, that it could be that many of the Christians that would have got their hands on this letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, if they got their hands on this letter, that it might just be that they were literally servants and slaves in people's households. Do you know what God would say to those that were to be a slave in somebody's household? Be obedient to them. If you're going to be a slave, be the best slave you can be. Do what your master would require out of you. I want so bad to go to the Old Testament example, I can't hardly stand it. But I'm going to resist the temptation. But I want you to know tonight that we are facing dangerous times and we have no idea what the future holds in America. But let's say the Chinese come in and take us slaves. Let's say Russia comes in and takes us slaves. You know, wonder how we would act or what would we do. You know what most of us do? You're going to have to kill me. Or what some, I won't say most, Hopefully we wouldn't. But you know what the flesh would say? I ain't serving you. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to bow to your will. I'm not going to wash your feet or clean your commodes. I'm not going to be your slave. I'm not going to do that. But you know what God said? Obey them that are your masters. And if you take the Bible, this is part of that hermeneutics class, if you understand the day in which this was written, it would have meant more to them than what it would mean to us. Today, it might mean an employer who wouldn't ask us to do too bad of things that we would, in other words, things that we might not like or find distasteful. But in that day, they literally may have been enslaved by others. And yet God said you're supposed to serve them. Now, I'm not talking about in sinful things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you realize that we can serve God in any circumstance. No matter what comes our way, no matter what position we find ourselves in, hey, you may be a wife, you can serve God by being a godly wife. You may be a husband, and you can serve God by being a godly husband. You may be a child today, and you can serve God in that capacity, but you can also serve God being a servant or a bond slave. Somebody that's been enslaved. We can serve God in any situation that we're in. Number two, I want you to notice the conditions that he puts on this service. Verse number five, he says, not just to be obedient, but he begins to give the conditions of our obedience, of our service. He says, number one, do it with fear and trembling. That is, with great humility and respect, with reverence of them. And giving honor to them with carefulness not to offend them, with submission to their reproofs and corrections, keeping in mind, and you have to keep this in mind, this is the command of God. Are we submitting ourselves to those that are our masters? Those that God has allowed to be in charge of us? Those that have been put in a position of authority over us? Are we truly submitting ourselves unto them? And you realize we could, and I realize this is an odd, it's odd for me to say this because I am the pastor, but you know, the Bible does talk about obey them that have the rule over you. And that's in the biblical context of that. It's talking about the pastor. But are we doing that? Are we submitting ourselves in that capacity? And of course, it has a lot to say about the masters and so on and so forth. But I'm just simply saying this. We are in this context to do it not just with a bad attitude, but with fear and trembling should be our condition. He also goes on to say, in singleness of heart. That means without hypocrisy. That means to keep a focus. It has to do with our integrity and our faithfulness. It means to put our master's interests first. I'm telling you, these things would not be easy to do if somebody came in and drug you out of your house or drug me out of my house and enslaved me. It would not be an easy thing to do. But I'm just telling you what God said we're supposed to do. I'll prove it to you before this whole series is over with, I believe. Verse number six, he said, not with eye service as men pleasers. That means that we are to serve and to obey him and not just when our master is looking. Not with eye service as a men pleaser. That means we're not to try to get by with anything. We're not to try to get by with not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I wonder, there's probably some CEOs of companies that would love a copy of this message, wouldn't they? I wonder how many billions of dollars in a year's time is literally stolen by employees just wasting time and not doing really what they're supposed to be doing. You know what? They're going to stand before God with that. Every minute, every hour, they're going to stand before God Almighty and give an account for not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, we should not act in a manner that just pleases men. Here is the thing about that. Do you realize that you could be an employee and get by with a lot of things that your employer does not know anything about, and he would still think you're a good employee? Did you hear me? Your employer could not know what all that you're not doing that you're supposed to be doing, and he would look at you and say, man, here is a good employee. But God said you're not supposed to serve as one who is just a man pleaser. That means you're just a man pleaser. That means you're pleasing him, but he don't really know what you're doing. And he's happy with you because he don't know. You know what that means? You're pleasing men. Because God's not pleased with that. And if you're a God pleaser instead of a man pleaser, then you'd be doing what you're supposed to be doing, whether the boss liked it or didn't like it in that situation. Which he is going to like it because that's what he asked you to do. So the thing is, you can get by with a lot and still please a man. But you can't get by with anything and still please God. Because God pays attention to the details. He goes on to say, but as the servants of Christ. In other words, we're supposed to serve others like we're serving the Lord. As the pastor of the church, I'm supposed to try to serve you as I serve the Lord. I take that back into Matthew, what Jesus said back in the Gospel of Matthew. Because the ruler, or whatever you want to call him, is supposed to be the servant, according to Matthew. And you're supposed to serve your employer as you're serving the Lord. Do you know what serving the Lord will do and walking with Him? It'll make us faithful and sincere in every area of our life. Walking with the Lord, being filled with the Spirit of God, and by the way, being filled with the Spirit is not you getting more of the Holy Ghost. I believe that when you get saved, the Spirit of God indwells you, He baptizes you in the family of God, and He indwells you, and that's all you're going to get of Him. But being filled with the Spirit has to do with really Him getting more of you. It has to do with Him directing you, Him being the one that influences you. And if you'll go back in verse 8, chapter 5, where it talks about that, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You know what he said? Do not be under the control of wine. When you're drunk with wine, that wine is influencing you. That's why a lot of people get in trouble. They do things under the influence of wine that they wouldn't normally do. It lowers their inhibitions. It causes them not to think right and make bad decisions because it's influencing them. But what he's saying is, don't let something like wine influence you. But on the other hand, let the Holy Ghost make your decisions. Let Him be the influence in your life. Let Him give you the direction in life. But he's saying we ought to do this as the servants of Christ. You know what? I thought about this as I was studying, preparing to preach this. It doesn't take much to let the world know that you're not trying to walk with the Lord. It doesn't take a whole lot for you and I to basically say to the world, I'm not trying to walk with the Lord. You can be an employee on the job and be around some other employees and they know you're trying to get by without doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know what you're telling them? I'm not trying to walk with the Lord. I'm not trying to do what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm trying to get by. I'm a men pleaser instead of a God pleaser. But a God pleaser is going to try to please God whether the boss knows about it or doesn't know about it. And boy, here is a huge statement. He says in this verse of Scripture, in this passage, my page is flipped. He says, not with eye service, verse 6, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Notice this. This is a profound statement. Doing the will of God from the heart. You know why we ought to be a Christian servant? You know why we ought to serve like this passage tells us? Because it's in our heart to do it. Not so somebody else will see us. Not so you can have a good name among the brethren. Not because you get a pat on the back. Not because you're going to get a raise or whatever the case may be. But you ought to be the best servant that you can be and do this being the will of God and do it from the heart because you love Him. That should be our motivation for what we do. We ought to be a good servant or a good employee or however you want to word it in this day. We ought to be the best we can because we love God and because our heart is in it and because we want to do God's will. Our heart moves us to do it. Not just the influence of what men think or peer pressure or whatever the case may be or because the boss might find out about it or not find out about it. The thing about it is we ought to serve God from the heart. It should motivate us. Doing the will of God from the heart. Why do you do what you do? Why do you serve in the church? Why do you serve on the job? Why do you serve your family? Why do you do what you do? Do you try to be a good employee just so you can get a good paycheck? I'll tell you, there's been some good employees that have lost their jobs. Do you know that? They've been good employees that's been fired just because they had a Christian testimony, for instance. There's been people that's been railroaded. I saw that movie I told you about the other day about by Ben Stein, if you haven't seen it, Expelled. There's been people in high places, in universities and places like that, and they don't even have to believe necessarily in God like we believe in God. All they have to believe in is that, what's the word that they use? What is it? Intelligent design. That's all they have to believe. In other words, they all you have to do is just look at the world and say, man, there has to be some kind of intelligence behind all this. This couldn't just be a product of time and chance. So when you say this is not a product of time and chance, they railroad you. They've been good people lose their jobs just for being right. So what I'm saying is, if you do what you do and you serve like you do just to get a paycheck or just to feed your family, I mean, those are noble things, but that should not be the reason behind what we do. You'll find out why in a few minutes. This is a wicked and ungodly world, and unfortunately, life's not fair. I hear a lot of times, that's not fair. Well, life's not fair. And the quicker that we learn that life's not fair, and the quicker that even our children learn that life's not fair. It's not fair. A lot of things in society, they're not fair. It's not fair, for instance, for our government to take away what we have earned and give to somebody that's just too lazy to work. That's not fair. You say what you want to. It's just not fair. But I'm saying that in this life, we have certain masters sometimes that are not fair to us. But that should not, or those things should not, in other words, what we do when we try to serve, we are to serve God from the heart because it's in our heart and not just to get a paycheck because you may be treated unfairly. Notice what he said in verse 7, with good will doing service. One man said that means with cheerfulness. Do not take up your service as a cross or bear it as a burden, but taking it as coming in the order of God's providence and a thing that is pleasing to Him. I wonder how many times you and I try to serve in this day. How many employees in America, they go to work and they say to themselves, I'm just glad to be here today to do a good job for the glory of God. Or how many say, man, I got to go to work today. I got to go to work today. I can't stand going to work. You know what? God said do it with goodwill. With cheerfulness. Do it with a right attitude.
I know we ain't swinging off the chandeliers tonight, but how many times have you ever heard these things? You don't hear things like this much. But it's in the Bible. With good will, he said, as to the Lord being the key and not to men. You know what the attitude should be? I'm going and I'm going to do the best job I can to serve my Lord. Do you know how to be the best witness you can be? One of the ways is being the best employee you can be. Being the best servant that you can be. Doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because in reality, this passage is telling us, you're not doing it for that company. You're not doing it for that boss. You're not doing it for that man. You're doing it for the Lord. And that's why you can have goodwill in doing it. That's why you can do it cheerfully. It'd give us a whole new attitude about what we're doing in life. As to the Lord and not to men. You realize Romans 14:8 says, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. At Ephesians 5:10, he said that we are to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, whatever you do, if you live, live for God. If you're going to die, die for the glory of God. Whatever you do, just do it for the glory of God. That's what this passage is telling us. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. When you think and you get the mindset that I'm going to serve God today, it helps you to be more faithful in what you're doing. It helps you to do it with the right attitude instead of thinking to yourself, I am not serving that wicked rascal. You see what I'm saying? Well, it's really not what I'm saying. That's what God's saying. So we see in this the command that God gives us to be obedient, and then we see the conditions that God puts upon our service. But then I want you to see the consequence for doing it right. Verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The first word, knowing. You know what he's saying? There's some things you need to know. There's some things that you need to continually be reminded of. Know that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. I hadn't even thought about this verse until I read this text a few minutes ago and the Lord brought it to my mind. You remember a passage that goes like this? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Does anybody know the rest of it? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, and here is the word that really magnifies what's being said here. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what the word that means? My pastor used to say this. It means seed for seed. It means you plant corn, you get corn. You plant beans, you get beans. You plant kudzu, you get more kudzu than you can ever kill out. But notice what our text says. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. What is that saying? You're going to reap what you sowed. You go in there and you do a good job and you give it your all. You better know that whatever good thing that you do, God is going to bless you in the consequence of doing, of obeying the command and meeting these conditions is that whatever you do that's right, I promise you God will bless you for it. Somebody said, well, I just can't afford to do that. I just can't do that. There's just no way I can do that. I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're calling God a liar. If God said it can be done, it can be done. If God said, I'll bless you for doing this, He'll bless you for doing that.
If God says that to be faithful and to do a good job, He'll be the one that rewards you for it. Friend, that ought to take all the guesswork out of our service. Here's the key to that. The Lord will reward your faithful service to earthly masters, whether they do or not. Did you get that? These earthly masters, they may be wicked men and they may not reward you according to the job that you're doing for them. It may be intentional, it may be an oversight on their part. I'm sure there are employees in America and maybe some sitting on this pew, and you do the best job you can do, and yet you see others that halfway do their job, get promotions and everything else under the sun, and you say to yourself, that just ain't right. It may be an oversight on their part, or they may do it intentionally. But the key to this is, it doesn't matter what that earthly master does, you're not serving him. You're not doing what you do for him anyway. And you're not doing what you're doing for the paycheck. You're not doing what you're doing for whatever he can provide for you. Because, I say again, man, that job can be gone like that. Then what you gonna do? If you're serving him and he boots you out the door or mistreats you or treats you unfairly and you're in a bad situation, then what you gonna do? Or what if you just halfway do it and he boots you out the door? Then what you gonna do? You ain't going to be able to go to God and say, God, I did all I can do. I did the best job I can do. I've seen people, and you know them too. I've seen people that they go work somewhere a while. They might work there a year. They might work there 2 years. And finally, they get fired for whatever reason. And they move on somewhere else and they work there maybe 6 months and they get fired and they go somewhere else and you go talk to them and it's always somebody else's fault. And the truth of the matter is they're probably just too lazy to work. That's probably just the truth of the matter. But the thing about it is, you don't do a good job and you get booted. You can't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I did all I can do. But I do believe if you do all you can do, you can take before God Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 8, and you can say, Lord, to the best of my ability, I know I'm not perfect, but Lord, I tried to be obedient to the command. I tried to do it the right way in the right conditions, and you know where I'm at now. I got fired anyway. I got mistreated. I got fired in spite of me trying to do right and live right. Now, Lord, you said that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Lord, this is what you said. You know what I believe? I believe God, when He makes a promise, He'll keep His promise. And I believe He's honored when we remind Him of His promises. But if you don't meet these conditions and you don't do what your part, you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, you know what? You can't come claiming these promises. But so many people won't meet the conditions. They won't obey the commandment. And they can't understand the consequences that they end up in or with. God's the one we're working for. His payday is not always on Friday, but it will be on time. Our earthly masters, they may cheat us, forsake us, and forget us, but God's keeping a record. God's keeping a record. And God has promised to meet our needs. You know what we can do? We can try to be the servant that God would have us to be, whether it's on our job, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the home, whether it's wherever it is. Just be the best servant, the Christian servant that we can be. And you know what we can do? We can trust God to take care of the rest of it. You know what the devil will do? The devil will say, you can't do it. It just keeps running through my mind. I feel like the Lord wants me to say this. I don't know who for, but it keeps running through my mind. The devil will say, you can't afford to tithe. What he's saying is, you can't believe what God said. What he's saying is that God won't keep his promise when he said, you give and men shall give unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It is amazing to me, as I look back through my life, it is amazing to me the times that God has met my needs from some of the most unlikely places. Just blow me away. I just could not believe how God meet the needs. All I can say is the Bible says the just shall live by faith. One of these days the dollar may not be worth a dime, literally. It may not even be worth the paper it's written on. What are you going to do then? Your job's not going to be much count. What you got in the bank's not going to be worth nothing. It's happened before. But I'll tell you, the good treasure that you store up in heaven will be worth it all. And the ability to lay before God His promise and say, Lord, here's what you said. You know, a lot of people have the idea that Christian people don't suffer. Well, that's a bad idea. You go around this world and there's people being killed for the faith. Shot and killed, having to hide in holes and everywhere else to avoid authorities. Does that mean God's forsaken them? Does that mean God's not good to them? Somebody would say, well, God said He wouldn't put more on us than we could stand, yet there's people being killed. Yes, I agree, He won't put more on you than you can stand, but that doesn't mean bad things won't happen to you. I just think God's trying to say to us, we need to be Christian servants and serve God, not serve men or mammon. Let's stand to our feet tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed just for a moment. Kelly's going to play and maybe God spoke to your heart. Listen, if you want to see real revival in your own home and family, you're going to have to deal with the details. If you want to see revival in the church that may affect you and your family and your loved ones, see your loved ones saved, we're going to have to get the frogs out of the pipe. We're going to have to get the dirt out. We're going to have to deal with every detail. If God's dealt with your heart, I'd ask you to come tonight and get these things right with the Lord. Whatever the Lord's dealt with you about tonight, won't you come? God help us. That there be nothing between us and the Lord. Trust and obey, she's playing. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. She's going to play through this one last verse and we'll be dismissed. No one else comes. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.